In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Adam, family members, friends, and members of Faith Lutheran Church, what a blessing and honor to be here today for this ordination service and witness our triune God bless our church with a new pastor. Our Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Adam, throughout your life, you have heard the word of God from your parents, from pastors, and many others that God has placed in your life. And that word has laid claim over your heart and mind, taking whatever freedom you might have claimed for yourself. At the same time, you have kept that word, and God has indeed blessed you. Your fate is tied up with the destiny of His word. It's a word that accomplishes the purpose for which God sent it. And as that word worked in you, it was placed in your thinking to desire the noble task of being a shepherd. So today marks the culmination of years of study and preparation, of hearing and keeping God's word. These last years have been perhaps a little harder with all the readings and reflection, learning, and discernment. The church has examined you and declared you ready and able to serve as a pastor. The people of our Savior Lutheran Church in Gladwin, Michigan has called you to be their pastor. So, you are to be ordained, set into the office to preach the word and administer the sacraments, holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. But I have to tell you, I have to say to you, Adam, that this day is not finally about you. The people in Gladwin have heard the word of God, and over the years, God has sent them pastors to proclaim the word of Christ, the words that are spirit and life, the words that create and sustain faith in the one who was crucified for our sins and raised again for our salvation. Pastors come and pastors go, but the word of the Lord endures forever. In order for the people of Gladwin to continue to be blessed by the word of our God, they prayed that the Lord of the harvest would send them a new pastor. And God has answered that prayer and blessed them. In this service of their ordination, the church rejoices to receive from the Lord the gift of a pastor and a servant of God's word. The words from our epistle reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 anchor us in the promise of Christ Jesus, the only sure foundation for the work you are undertaking, Adam, and for the life you will have as a pastor with the people of God, the people God has given you to shepherd. The promise of Christ Jesus is the confidence of a minister of the New Testament. The promise of Christ Jesus is the confidence of a minister of the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks of this confidence. A confidence that we are giving through Christ toward God. And this is not the self-confidence of our old sinful nature, which trusts in our own capacities and intellect. Paul writes, and we heard today in the epistle reading, "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant." A service of ordination is not so much the celebration of a goal achieved, like finishing a long list of prescribed classes and a vicarage, and finally beginning a paying career as a pastor, we can definitely celebrate those accomplishments. But a service of ordination is a confession that this man sitting right here has no sufficiency in himself. His sufficiency is from God, who has made him a competent minister of the New Testament. That's why the church insists that those called to be pastors are bound to the Holy Scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. We don't need pastors who entertain congregations with their own brilliance or impress the flock with their creativity or overwhelm the community with their personal charisma. God desires shepherds who can make no claim to self-sufficiency, for their sufficiency is in Christ alone. Like the Apostle Paul, they are men who do not preach themselves, but have the courage and the boldness to preach no other than the Jew who was crucified as a blasphemer for claiming equality with God by forgiving sins. Adam, ordination is not so much about your competence or sufficiency, but about Jesus Christ, who has made you competent with something as simple as his promises. Your sufficiency is from the Lord. As our Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples, and by his word and his spirit sent them to forgive the sins of all those who repent and retain the sins of the impenitent, he is sending you today. In a few minutes, we will hang a stole around your neck to remind you and everyone who hears you of that fact. You have no other authority than that of Jesus' promise. This is not a legal authority that would force people to pray, pay, and obey. Yes, you will preach God's law, but its letter can only kill because it puts the sinner to death. God's law shows our sins, convicting us that we are sinners deserving condemnation. It is the Holy Spirit who is the Lord and giver of life. As we read, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You have nothing to claim but Jesus' words, words of Spirit and life. You have the gospel of Jesus that shows our Savior and gives forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus' words are more than sufficient for the task. Of course, they don't seem all that impressive, and they may appear weak and useless in the face of the terrifying powers at work in this world. The Corinthians didn't even find Paul all that credible. His only credentials for apostolic ministry were the marks of his suffering, the bearing of the cross. Paul came to them not with impressive speech or perfect arguments. He came among them, determined to know nothing else than Christ and him crucified as the wisdom and power of God for salvation. That was Paul's apostolic competence. Adam, it is yours as well. God is giving you the opportunity to stand in front of the Holy Scripture, to hear it, and in hearing it, repeat it in the reproof and exhortation of God's convicting law, but also consoling through the proclamation of comfort in the gospel of Christ. God has not given you his word for you to interpret it so that it conforms to the pattern of your mind. But you are to be interpreted by his word so that your mind is renewed and your lips unlocked to speak the truths of God. You are finished with your 4-month training at the seminary. You have passed your classes. Well, I mean, at least I was told you passed. I didn't actually see your grades. Anyway, even though that part has finished, you will never stop being a student of the Scriptures. If you stop being a student of the Scriptures, you are simply no longer qualified to preach. Your sufficiency is anchored in God's word alone. Dear brother Adam, soon to be Pastor Flanick, you are embarking today on a path that you cannot see the end. What will be in store for you and Megan and the kids and, you know, in Michigan with God's people of our Savior Lutheran Church? Of course, we don't know the answer to that question. The ministry there will probably have seasons of wonderment and worry, times of deepest joy and profound disappointment. Whatever comes, face it in the confidence that you have through Christ toward God. The word he has given you to preach in season and out of season will not return to him empty. It will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. The Lord is sending you as a minister of the New Testament, not of the killing ladder, but of the Spirit, who gives life. You will speak Christ's words from the pulpit, in the classroom, over a cup of coffee, at the bedside, before an open grave, and all the other places where God's people need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd that holds on to us in life and death. You will apply that word in holy baptism and in the Lord's Supper. As Christ's representative, tell everyone the good news that God in Christ reconciles the world to himself, making peace through the blood of the cross and giving us eternal life. That is your confidence for ministry. It's outside ourselves. It draws us into Christ crucified and risen from the dead. His future is your future. His future is the church's future. So live in the freedom Christ Jesus gives. Going to work in joy, for your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.